2 Kings chapter 2. The translation of Elijah is what the Scofield Bible has over top of this section, and we'll just read for a moment and then preach for a little bit. The Bible says, "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I appreciate the message on repentance, a needed subject today. And I'm going to preach this evening for just a few minutes about the power of God. You know, it's been some time ago, but Brother Jim Fleur, I listened to a message that he was preaching. And he talked about a man that had approached him after service. And he said, Preacher, I'd like you to make a promise to me. I'd like you to go see my wife. And he said, Listen, I'll go see your wife. No problem at all, I'll go see your wife. He said, Listen, promise me you'll do that. He said, Look, I promise you I'll go see your wife. He said, You don't understand. My wife does not like preachers. And he said, That's all right. I've met a lot of people like that. He said, I'll go see your wife. And then he went on to begin describing his wife, didn't believe in God, so many things that she was against. And so he said, Listen, I'll go see your wife. So he went to see her, and he met her there at the hospital, and he spent some time giving her the gospel, trying to win her to Jesus Christ. And he said that there was no response whatsoever. And he walked out of the hospital, and he got in his car, and he drove around the city for a couple of hours, just drove around the city. And he said, God, why is it that I have not even enough power to be able to move her heart at all? And he begged God for his power and he begged God for help. And he did that for 2 hours. He got out of the car when he drove back to the hospital, went back up the stairs, went back to her room, and he led her to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say something tonight. I believe we need repentance in the church of the living God, but I believe we need the power of the living God. And I don't mean that we just need power that is something that we can produce. Listen, you and I, we can produce energy down here. The lights that we have all kinds of turbines and nuclear power stations and all that. But it does not match the power of that sun that rises every day and sets every day. And I'm telling you right now, we need some of the real power of God today. When you take and you roll a mantle together, and you smite a body of water and it parts hither and thither. We're not talking about walking on the water. We're talking about the water dividing. That's real power. And Elijah had that power and Elisha wanted a double portion of it. Maybe it's because he saw Elisha and heard of Elisha calling down fire from heaven, 63 words. And 63 words brought about the fire of God to an altar. Maybe he's heard or saw Elijah stand against Ahab and against that wicked woman Jezebel. Maybe he watched that and he thought, oh, I need some of that. I tell you, I think we need the power of God for several reasons. I think one of the reasons we need the power of God today and a double portion is because of how dark our world is today. Come on, church, we live in a dark world today. It's growing darker by the hour. It's growing darker by the year. Things that we never dreamed possible are true today. That we have to discuss how we're going to deal with somebody that comes into our congregation and while they're in our church changes their gender and changes what they believe God made them, and how we're going to deal with that as a church, and how we're going to deal with that when two people marry or want to marry that are of the same gender. How are we going to deal with it? It's a dark world when you have to live with that. It's a dark world when there's filth around us that continues to grow. And I'm telling you right now, I need the power of God because of the darkness of the world that I live in. I need a double portion of the power of God because of the weakness of myself. I think about these great men of God that used to live and these folks that didn't have Twitter and didn't have smartphones and didn't have all the things that we have to care for. Listen, they had their attention fixed on God. I'm sure Spurgeon never got the tweet that he had to deal with somebody. He was in his study. He was on his knees before God. Sure, he had 10,000 people to come hear him. But listen, he was in my eyes, giants of God. And I believe myself, I believe I'm so far down that pole. I believe I'm so far down at the bottom. And I'm telling you, I need, Mom, you need a double portion of the power of God to be the mother you should be because of the weakness of us today. I'm going to tell you, I believe that Christianity is weak today. It's weak. It's weak. We talk about the power that's in us, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, but you look at it in our lives. I mean, people can't quit smoking. People can't quit doing, listen, small things. We have so little power today. You know why? Because we're weak, and I'm right there with you. I'm weak. I'm going to tell you right now, you know what a weak person needs? They need a double portion of God's power. As a pastor, I know what I need. I need a double portion of God's power. The darkness of the day, the weakness of ourselves, the greatness of the responsibility. 7 billion people. I know this isn't missions conference. Every time I come into this place, see these flags flying. Turns my heart back to the time when I got to see people commit to the Lord right here in this place. You know, in China right now, they're burning Bibles. In China right now, they're closing the church doors and telling them they have to give an allegiance to the Communist Party before they're going to allow them to continue to meet. You're talking about 1.4 billion people. How do you reach 1.4 billion people? I tell you what you don't do. You don't reach them in your own power. It's going to take a power a whole lot bigger than yours. How do you reach 1.2 billion people in India? I mean, goodness, I haven't figured out how to reach Greenville, South Carolina. Never figured out how to reach Ardmore. Look, 3,000 people. If we're going to see God do something, we're going to need a power a whole lot bigger than ourselves. The greatness of the responsibility. The greatness of the responsibility. And Elisha, he says, I want a double portion. You know, I found there are a lot of people, they get along just fine without any help from God. They don't need any more power. They don't need any help doing what they're doing. Everything's fine. The control on the temperature, it stays the same. The clothing, the furniture in the house, the lifestyle, the car, everything's all right. Preacher, I don't need any more power. I'm just fine. You know what? That may be true of some people, but it sure wasn't true of Elisha. Elisha said, I want a double portion. Can I ask you a question before I even get into the message? Do you need the power of God? Do you need the power of God? I got a better question for you. Do you want the power of God? Do you want His hand working through you? There is so much that we'll never be able to do, but with the hand of God on our life, there's so much that we can do. And just quickly tonight, not going to be very long at all, if you look three things really quickly about Elisha. He wanted the power of God. And I've heard in Greenville, we have people that want the power of God. And I can tell you, wanting the power of God is not going to come by the style of suit that you wear. It's not going to come by the mannerism you have in the pulpit. It's not going to come by the number of people that signed your Bible or how many times you've read your Bible through. Although those are all good things, it's going to come from something totally different. Now, I know how it is for us here. Fast food just bothers me. I stopped by the McDonald's on the way to the hospital to see some people there, and I thought I'm going to bring them some biscuits. Bought them some biscuits, and I thought, well, I'm just going to take them some biscuits up there, try to encourage their heart. I sat in line. I gave my order. Didn't order anything special. They said, well, if you'll just pull right up to the edge, sir, we'll have them out to you in just a minute. I pulled up to the edge, and I sat there, and I waited for a little bit, and I thought, look, we're just talking about four biscuits, and they're not out here yet. Fourth, maybe sausage biscuits. I'm waiting a little while. I look at my watch there. It's already been 5 minutes. I've been sitting here 5 minutes. Where are these people at now? I put in an order. This is fast food. I'm expecting four biscuits. Come on, this is McDonald's. This is what you do for a living. 10 minutes, and I, listen, 10 minutes waiting on four biscuits. You know what I started doing? I'll never come to this McDonald's again. And then I shouldn't have been going to McDonald's anyway. You want to see those golden arches sooner, you just keep on heading down to McDonald's, all right? I was so upset when that lady brought out those biscuits. And really, I'd been sitting there for 10 minutes. I'm going to come to a meeting. Boy, I'm going to get in this camp meeting. I'm going to get in this gospel meeting, this Bible conference. God, give me your power. I want it right now. So when I walk out that door, I can feel that there's a difference. You know, I think that probably you and I, we're mistaken if we think that's the way it works. We're mistaken. I want to tell you what I really believe. Three things. Number one, if you want the power of God, mom, if you want the power of God to be the mother you should be, if you want the power of God to be the Sunday school teacher you should be, number one, you're going to have a willingness to endure. You're going to have a willingness to endure. If you look in the passage, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, as far as talking to Elijah and Elisha, he says, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. He tells him again the same thing down in verse number 4. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Then he goes and he says in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He is constantly on the move, and he's moving from one place to another. And Elisha has to make up his mind, I am willing to endure to get from you what I cannot create on my own. I am willing to endure these things. Now, let me say, put a little mark right there and go, if you would, over to 1 Timothy just a moment. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, let's go there first, 2 Timothy. Say, boy, preacher, I just need the power of God on my life to be the right kind of Sunday school teacher, be the right kind of father, to finally reach those people that I work with, to make a difference with my family at Christmas time. I need that power. I want that power. Well, look what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look down at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy, you're going to have to endure some hard things. You're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to be willing to take the problems, the hardship, and yet continue on. He doesn't stop there. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I'm going to endure something for their sake. All right, I'm going to endure all things. Put whatever you want to put in there. You know, there are a lot of people, listen, I know it, I see it. And look, I pastored here long enough. I know many of your lives. There comes a problem in life. And if you're not careful, when that hardship comes in life, that wayward child that decides they're going to go a different direction, If you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll say, I just can't go any farther. This is as far as I can go. You know what you need to do? You need to decide, I'm going to continue on anyway. Amen. People have problems in their marriage. People have problems in their body. The body breaks down. The body won't cooperate the way it used to. It has some problem in it. And it's hard to get to church. It's hard to do what I used to do. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in that. And you begin to slow down and you stop moving forward. Hey, I say if you got cancer in your body, keep on going on for the Lord Jesus Christ and bring Him some glory through it. Amen.
Amen.
Endure it. Endure all things. Endure an offense. We are so thin-skinned today. Somebody says something they shouldn't say. Somebody does something they shouldn't do. Words that you don't appreciate. And the next thing you know, preacher, I feel God is leading me to another church. Come on, so thin-skinned. Things that don't matter at all. I was preaching the other Sunday and I mentioned something about we have dogs. And I said, but we don't put clothes on dogs. And I'm talking in the context of missions. And what I'm trying to get across is this. I would hate to have invested more in a pet than I did in the work of God. That's exactly. I had nobody in mind. I wasn't trying to aim at anybody. And maybe I just need to keep on looking around right now, see if anybody starts ducking right now. I didn't think of anybody. And after service, a lady came and she showed me the picture. And I said, sister, I know you give a whole lot more to missions than you put in that dog. And I don't think she was offended. I hope she wasn't offended. I hope that somebody wouldn't be offended over something like that and leave a good Bible-believing church that's investing in missions because of some thin-skinnedness about them. You didn't call my family by name. Not everybody gets called by name. But you called her by name. That's all right. Paul called a lot of people by name. He called people by name at the end of the book of Romans. He named all kinds of people. You know he had a whole lot more people than that. Well, you're just being unfair and you're being biased. Look, don't let somebody's name being called or some position they're given push you out of doing the work of God.
Amen.
You put me on the schedule for the nursery on the best night of the meeting. Bless your heart. If you can't endure some things, you know what? You're never going to see the power of God. In fact, I believe this. I believe the more you have to endure, I believe the more likely it is that you're going to know the power of God. Because you have to have His power to be able to endure. You don't understand what my dad did to me. You don't understand what my mother did to me. Listen, how much of the power of God do you want? Are you willing to endure? Look at it again, chapter 3, verse number 11. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You know what? If we'll endure some things, you know what God will do? He'll show Himself mighty.
Amen.
God, we want Your power, but we don't have to endure anything. Listen, you go on and you walk with Him. You stay with Him. Be willing to endure some hardness. Look at it one more time, chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, endure afflictions and keep on laboring for God. You know, I don't have stories like this, but I've heard people that have stories about why they left the ministry and what people did to them. There are enough preachers here tonight. I'm telling you right now, don't you let somebody take away the gifts and calling that God put in your life. You endure the hardness and you keep going on for the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to give you His power. If Elisha wasn't willing to endure, there is no way that he sees the power of God in his life. All those miracles that we read that Elisha did, none of them took place. If he doesn't endure, if he's not willing to go from place to place to place, and he's doing it with people trying to discourage him. Go back, if you would, to 2 Kings and look at that. They're trying to discourage him. Verse number 2 again, he says, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me into Bethel. Verse number 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Why are you going? Don't you know today he's going to die? He says, yeah, I know it. Hold you your peace. They come back out again. Verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold you your peace. There are people that are discouraging him. There are people that are saying things that are hurtful to him, trying to stop him from enduring. Hey, mom, dad, make up your mind. I am going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to endure by God's grace so he can continue working in my life and my children's life. How many mothers and dads gave up on being in a Bible-believing church because their children developed the wrong kind of friends and began turning the wrong direction around 7th and 8th grade? Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Around 7th or 8th grade, and all of a sudden those children began leaning this direction away from everything they were taught in church, everything they've seen in the Bible, everything they've heard all their life. But now since they're moving this way, mom and dad decide, well, I'd rather stay their friend and go out there and be with them than I would lose them to the world. Hey, you're going to lose them anyway. Well, that prodigal son's father, he stayed right exactly where he was supposed to be. He never moved. He never wavered. He didn't change his life because somebody else changed their life. God knows enough of us in here have had friends that have changed their direction. They've gone into contemporary worship. Some of them have gone all completely off the reservation doing something that they always believed against. They changed their lifestyle. They changed everything about it. You know what? When your friends decide to follow a different path, you know what you need to do? You need to say, I'm going to endure right here with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's hard to have a friend leave. It's hard to have a friend leave. Elisha, he said, you know what? I'm willing to endure whatever I've got to endure. Go back, if you would, chapter 2. Look at what he says in verse number 2 again. Let me show you one other thing here. You need to be willing to endure. The Bible says in verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 4, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Look at it the last time, verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. I want to say this tonight. Listen, not only do you need to have a willingness to endure, but you need to have a willingness to cleave to the Lord. To cleave to the Lord. Every time Elijah tried to put Elisha off, Elisha said, you know what? I will not leave thee. It reminds me of the book of Ruth. Naomi has tried to tell Ruth, listen, go on back to your father's house and go back and the Lord will bless thee there. You know what Ruth said? I will not leave thee. I'm not going to leave thee. I'm going to stay right here with you. I'm going to follow you, Naomi. I'm going to cleave to you. You know, the Bible says that about a father, or rather a husband and a wife. The Bible says that that man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. In other words, she becomes his partner. She becomes the other half of his life. He cleaves to her. He holds to her. The Bible says the same thing in Acts chapter 11 when speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ there at Antioch. The Bible says that they encouraged them to cleave unto the Lord. To say, Lord, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm going to hold on to you. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. I am willing to cleave unto you. Hey, let me say something tonight. We will never have the power of God without the person of Jesus Christ. You can have all the form. You can have ornate buildings. You can have the programs. You can get the excitement in there. You can do all of that. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll never have the power of God without the person of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. And he clave to him. He said, I'm going some other place. And he said, wherever you're going, I'm going. I'm following you wherever you go. Hey, preacher, let me encourage you tonight. No matter what happens in life, you need to make up your mind. I'm going to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what happens in your home, no matter what happens to your health, No matter what happens, I'm going to cleave to the Lord. It's one thing to endure and go forward. How many military guys we got in here? We got one? That's it? Two. Got a few. Had to learn how to endure. All right, but enduring something is completely different than following somebody else. To be able to stay right close to them. In fact, boy, I used to preach to young people right here. This makes me feel good again. Touch it. I got some that don't need to be here. I can't believe you're old enough to sit here. That's really breaking my heart. You need to learn that Christianity is not about all the things that we do or don't do. Christianity is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's about somebody that you can fellowship with in the morning. It's about somebody that you can walk with during the day. It's about somebody you can spend time with in the afternoon and in the evening. It's somebody you can sit out on the backside of the desert, and as you're looking up at the stars, as David did, you begin to develop a relationship that'll make you fitted one day to stand toe-to-toe with a giant. It's not just, well, I got my King James Bible, got my dress on, got my tie on, got my pocket. Nobody's got a pocket square. I'm good. No, you're going to have more than that. You're going to have to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe the God will put you in a position at times in your life where that's the only thing you have to hold on to. There's nothing left to hold on to. You're going to have to hold on to Him. Boy, I like Elisha. He's just determined. I'm not going to let go of you. I'm going to stay right here. Boy, Jacob did that. He's wrestling till the break of day. And he's I'm not going to let you go until God, He touched him on the inner part of that thigh. He's still hurting, but he's not letting go. He's holding on. Oh, God, help us today to have some mothers and dads and teenagers and preachers and Sunday school teachers that say, hey, I really don't care what direction the world's going. I'm cleaving to the Lord of heaven. I'm holding on to Him. I'm willing to hold on to Him. Now listen, if you hold on to Him, a lot of times you got to let go of something else. Yeah. A lot of people like to hold on to two things one time. If you're going to really cleave, you're going to have to let go of some things to hold on to Him. You're going to have to leave some things behind. And boy, that's so contrary. That's my third point. Look, if you would, there in 2 Kings chapter 2. The Bible says that after Elijah had wrapped that mantle, smote the waters, in verse number 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I shall be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So when Elijah is caught up, the Bible says in verse number 12, that Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Listen, Elisha was willing to be conformed to the image of Elijah. Now stay with me. He takes and he rents his own clothes. Rips them. And there is that mantle laying there. And he picks up that mantle. And he puts, as far as I'm concerned, he puts that mantle on. He takes it back over there and he touches those waters. They part hither and thither. But the Bible says he's taken his own clothes. He's ripped them. He's taken on somebody else's mantle. Listen to me. When you and I get saved, we're supposed to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Amen. There should be a different image that I am bearing that is not like what it used to be beforehand. There is an idea today. Boy, I want the liberty to preach it here. There is an idea today that you can be saved and live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, as long as you love the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. There is no Bible for that whatsoever. The Bible says I'm to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, young men, if you think that Jesus is wearing holy blue jeans and flip-flops with a Fu Manchu holding a beer in his hand, sitting somewhere just kicking it with the rest of the guys, you got the wrong view of God. That is not the God of the Bible. The filth that I used to say with my mouth before I got saved shouldn't be coming out of my mouth after I get saved. Right. What I held in my hand before I got saved should change to something else I can hold in my hand. My life changes so others around me can see the difference on the inside. Boy, got this great big old construction worker in our church, and he'd just been out there in the world. His wife prayed 26 years. God, please save him. And he said he went one day into the closet to grab his boots, and when he did, he looked on the wall when he pushed the clothes back, and he saw these things taped to the wall. And he started reading it, and it was the prayers of his wife that she'd been praying for 26 years about her lost husband. And he began looking at all that. And he said, "Preacher, that's when my heart broke." And he got saved about a year and a half ago, about 2 years ago. He got born again. Amen. Wife prayed for him 26 years. And I'm talking about a big old construction worker, runs a crane. I can only imagine. He said, "Preacher, you just have no idea what I used to be like." He said, I said, "Anybody got a blessing night at prayer meeting?" He said, "I got one." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Tonight, preacher, I just want to thank God this afternoon. The men stopped and we'd ordered pizza. And before we ate, one of the men looked over at me and they said, 'Gene, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and bless this food for us?'"
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He said, "Preacher, they never asked me to pray over anything before because of what used to come out of my mouth. Boy, we got to praising God that God's able to take and change something on the inside. And what used to be down on the inside, God has completely reversed it. And it's not some means of therapy. And it's not going to some sort of set of lessons. It's the power of God in a person's life."
Amen.
Changed him.
Hallelujah.
People start looking. They saw, "Boy, I see Jesus in that man right there." That's what those sons of the prophets did. They start looking down. They say, "Oh my, the spirit of Elijah just rests on Elisha. He's got something he didn't have before." Now, before you get really excited about that, I do need to point out there in verse number 9, when he said, "What can I do? What do you want me to do?" And he tells him, and he says in verse number 10, he says, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me," I'm going to tell you what, if you want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you got to quit looking at yourself. Yeah, you got to quit looking at yourself. We are such a self-centered generation. There's no wonder there's no power in our lives. Because we just want to be like all of our friends on Facebook. We want to be like all of our friends that are out there in the world. Listen, you know what? If you're going to be conformed to the image of God, you're going to have to quit looking at everybody and you're going to start looking at Him. You have to get your eyes off of who you are and who everybody else is, and you're going to start looking to Him. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you who He is. He's holy.
Amen.
He's holy. Amen. Oh, yeah, He's holy. Christian rap. Christian rap my foot.
Amen.
It's like Christian beer. What is a Christian beer? Amen. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is holy. Separate from sinners. No, He's like us. No, He's not like you at all.
Amen.
Yeah, but as long as I got my friends and they all say they love Jesus and they do that and they wear that and they say that, hey, you need to quit looking at them and you need to quit looking at you and start looking at Him.
Amen.
If you see me, so many people look in so many different places. They're looking at the preacher. Hey, you ought to follow your preacher as he follows God, but you ought to be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not looking at yourself. You get to looking at yourself. Can you imagine Elisha missing the translation of Elijah because he was taking time looking down here? Whoa, what was that? That is not what he was doing. I'm telling you what he was doing. He had his eyes fixed. Everywhere Elijah went, he's looking at him. He's looking. He's just watching. People spend more time looking at this than they ever spend looking at the Bible or at Christ. And I have to fight it. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is free, doesn't have anything to do with what I'm preaching on. When you go out to eat with somebody, you ought to put this thing away.
Amen.
Put it away.
Amen.
Well, you don't know. It's just, what happens if I don't get that next text? You won't die.
Right. Amen.
Oh, yes, I will. We went into a restaurant as a family. I looked over, and this person, they had a computer laptop open in front of them with earphones in. This guy next to her had Beats on his head. The other person over here, they had, you think I'm kidding. They had AirPods in their ear looking at their thing. And this one other guy right here, he had his laptop open. He didn't have anything in his ears, but nobody's saying anything to anybody. What did you come out for? Yeah, but I just missed something. If you got to check your text during church, shame on you. If you come to church, listen, Sunday when the Super Bowl's played, if you got to check the Super Bowl, you're looking in the wrong place, man. What's wrong? Why are we so caught up right here? You know, you need to be caught up. You need to be caught up looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Seek ye those things which are above. You want the real power of God. You got to quit looking at you and look at Him. Amen. Yeah, but I like me. That's why you can't get a prayer answered. Everybody else is happy with me. That's why you can't get a prayer answered. That's why you can't see somebody led to Christ. That's why you can't endure a trip to the mission field. That's why when some comes up that's some kind of opposition to stop you from doing right, you're dead in your tracks because there's no power. Look at me. I'm telling you, this church has the ability to do whatever God wants it to do if you'll quit looking at you and start looking at Him. Keep your eye on Him. He said, you got to see me. If you don't see me, then you're not going to get what you're asking for. All those miracles, all those things that are out there. And we look at our life, but look how broken my life is. Look how hurt I am. Hey, listen, He endured the cross of Calvary for you and I. He suffered shame and rejection and was despised. You can endure the same. Amen. You got to look at Him. Amen. Got to look at Him. I think that's enough. I know that I need the power of God. I know that. I know I need it in my family. I know I need it for my children's sake. I know I need it for the people that are depending on me to make right decisions. I need it for our children's home and the obstacles and the battles that they have to face. I need it. But it's one thing to know that I need it. It's another thing to say I want it. And you know, I'm comfortable, preacher, I'm good. Everything's good right now. Yeah, but don't you want the real power that God has to offer for the things in your life that you're facing that people need to hear from Him? You say, okay, I want it, but are you willing? Are you willing to endure, some of you that are facing tremendous battles? You willing to endure? Are you willing to cleave to Jesus? Listen, I'm losing on this side, I'm losing over here, but I'm not gonna let you go, Lord. And I'm willing to be conformed. Would you make me into what you want me to be, Lord? Holy, compassionate, forgiving, gracious, merciful, abhorring that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good. God, would you help me to be what you are so I can have that power that I need, not for me, but for people in my life that I can't help without your help? That's the question. That's the question to you tonight. Are you willing? God, give me that power. I'm tired of going into the room and nothing happening. Would you put your hand on me so I can see the difference?